Hey, just real quick, for real, if you're a dad, tell your son you love him. You don't have to do it right now, but you can if you want to. But here's the deal. In our culture, sometimes we can be tough. We were all made to be told that we're loved. And so it's not okay to say, well, I changed their tires so they know I love them. As Jody would say, you know what I mean? You with me? This is how. So make sure you tell him you love him today. This is my Jody impression when he calls me, or I call him. He's just like, hey, man. Wow, settle down. Jody, settle down. How you doing, man? I'm okay. All right, that's good. Talk to you later. Bye, man. That's we've gotten deep together. Deep conversation. Where's my junior hires? Where's the J high? You're here? Do we have any senior hires here? All right, good. So junior hires, here's the situation. We're just going to vibe today. Just going to vibe. It's going to be Gigi. It's going to be Cat. Now, for the adults, we're going to get into the word. Okay? You with me? So Heather and I have three boys. We did it. We have three boys. It's amazing. 20 years old, 18 years old, 12 year olds, Isaac, Abraham, and Malachi. Who thought Jacob? Church people. You've been in the church too long. We just didn't want to be that family, but we hear from church people a lot about how we should have been that family. I love being a dad. It's my favorite next to being a husband. You know, I love being a dad. So when our oldest, Isaac, was 3 years old, sharp as a tack, good-looking kid, just gets up from his dad's side, and we were in bed. It was the morning time, and his routine would he would come in and fall back to sleep and with us and kind of hang out. This one morning, he walks into the there's three, you know, he's little and he impressionable and he's seeing the world, you know, and just taking it all in. He comes to my side of the bed, and instead of crawling in, he just taps me on the shoulder. He looks at me. He's like, Daddy. I'm like, yes, my son. We speak King James. What does thee want to say to me? And this is true. This is not for humor's sake, but this is true. He said, Daddy, one day, I want to be a big woman just like you. Not only a woman, a large woman. And so what a little cherub he was. I put him right on timeout. I think he's still on there, right? He's due to get off in 2027? Okay. You know, here's the deal. I don't think it's any secret that we have an identity problem in our culture. We see it. We hear about it. We read it. We see it on the news. But here's what we don't often see is that we have a spiritual identity problem in the church. And I want to talk to you a little bit about today. It says this in Psalm 107, verse 2. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So I'm going to tell you my story today. I'm going to tell you our story a little bit today. And here's the thing. I'm just going to tell you what I've learned, what we've learned. There'll be some points in there. I don't know if it'll be the perfect four-point sermon or not, but we're going to try. One moment, please. Sorry. So I kind of want you to understand who's talking to you here this morning. And what I want to do with you is I want to share with you a little bit about our journey over the last decade and what we've learned in that. And it's like this is a sermon. Here's the problem is this is a sermon that's been like birthing in me for the last decade. So get your DoorDash app out because we're having lunch here. Okay? It's on Jody in the church. So credit card number will be on the screen. You know, I'm not an A-list speaker. I haven't written any books. I don't even read that many books. I mean, it was Dr. Seuss to my kids. But I'm not on TBN. Clearly, I don't wear skinny jeans. Okay? My jeans are like parachute pants to most people. You know what I mean? I shop in the husky section, if you will. Anybody with me? Come on. Hallelujah. That's what I'm, big and tall, DXL, come on, You know what I mean? All right, I'm sorry. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. Here's what I do right now. I've had like 4 jobs in the last 5 months. No kidding. So you and I, I'm not in ministry. I'm not a pastor. I used to be. So like all of us in here, we're brothers and sisters. And I mean that we are on this journey together. I'm just going to tell you what I've discovered. And I'm not going to tell you that I've figured it out. Is that okay? Is that all right? And so what I do right now, I was doing senior caretaking this year already. I was working for a solar company already. Now I'm painting. I have a gentleman that's becoming a friend of mine who has a painting business. He said, "Can you paint?" I said, "I've seen Karate Kid." Yes. A lot more to painting than I thought. He doesn't let me cut in, if you will. He does everything and then I mess it up and he fixes it and he still pays me. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm painting, just trying to figure out what's next. My wife and I are praying about launching the ministry and just doing some cool things. So I have no idea why Jody brought me here. I'm trying to figure it out. The reason I'm here this morning is that actually you do have a pastor that believes in us and in me. And he knows our story. He knows everything about it. And he's loved us through it. He's believed us enough for us to come and to be with you today. And let me just say this. You have an extraordinary church here. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So, yeah, that's fine. Do it. We've worked in churches. We've been to a lot of churches, seen a lot of churches, and when you're in it, maybe you don't know what the rest of the world is out there, but you have something here in your corner of the world that is very special. And I just wanted to let you know if you didn't know already. So that's how you wanted me to say it, right, Jody? That's right. Okay. I forgot the note that he wrote, but so what I want to tell you is this message that I'm sharing with you. This is the first time I've given a message spoken on a stage in 10 years. So I was in ministry for 20 years, Heather and I together, youth pastor for 15 years or so, adult ministry, discipleship, and then satellite church campus pastor. You know, we were doing well. We were fine. We were good. Matter of fact, we were at the height of ministry, whatever that even means. We were successful, whatever that really means. And I made some decisions that derailed our lives overnight. Just made some decisions, some poor decisions that affected our marriage and our family forever. And so here's what I want to tell you this morning. This moment, I'm over here like figuring out if I can even share this message. I'm like crying over here. Because I never thought I'd be here. Because you have to understand, when you're in ministry and you make a mistake, there's not a lot of grace sometimes. And so I have to, I'm just going to preface it by saying this, and then we're going to get into it. I'm really going to try to get through it the best I can. But a decade ago, I had hoped to really not live. Do you hear what I'm saying? Maybe some of you are there. Like, I'm not saying that so that it's like the thing to say. I had hoped for that. I believe that my family might want that for me. And today, 10 years later, I'm possessed with hope. And I'm just going to share with you a little bit of what I've discovered. So this moment is important. He's a good father. Really? He's a good father. And here's what I want to say to you. I want you to look at me now. Look at my face, because my body doesn't tell the story. You know what I'm saying? You are a son and a daughter to a father that's better than you think he is. And I just want to tell you this truth. This is from experience now. This is not just in the word. I've lived it. We've lived this. We have contended for this. People would look at me and tell me, you'll be in ministry again one day. And I would, in my heart, there is no way. I don't want to. I just want to survive. I just want my kids to survive. I just want my wife to try to be happy. And then I discovered who I really am. Because the truth is, we walk around. Can you imagine a church filled with sons and daughters who really knew? You wouldn't have a building big enough.
That's right.
Because the truth is, we carry His presence. Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. Listen, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Come on. I mean, seriously, listen. So I'm like getting ahead of myself, but I don't care. I've got the mic. So we live, listen, students, I wish I knew what I'm about to talk to you about. I wish I knew this when I was your age. You would have saved me a lot of heartache. You with me on that? Okay, good. None of you said good. Okay. Felix, get him out. In Luke 15, we hear the parable of the lost son. And if you want to open there, you can. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But this is the basis for what we're talking about today. And specifically, we're just kind of looking at when he comes to this revelation in verse 17. So if you're not familiar with the story, there's a son, two sons, big property, dad owns a lot, dad's wealthy. The younger son wants his share of the inheritance. Dad gives it to him. He goes out, spends it on wild living, goes crazy. If it's in our culture, he goes to Vegas and does everything that's in Vegas to do. And then he's filling his stomach with pig's food, and he's a mess. But he spends all his money. He's broken. He's lost. He's made mistakes. And he finally comes to his senses, and he says, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Here's the plan. I'm going to go back to my father, and I know that I've lost my right to be a son, but I'm going to go back as one of his hired servants. So pick it up in verse 17. It said, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired servants. And in verse 22, it says, but the father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe, put it on him, get the ring, get the sandals, get the calf, let's party. So we've heard that before, right? Anybody heard that before? Is this new? I hope it's not new or we have to talk. Here's the problem with familiar passages. They're familiar. And sometimes familiar passages lose their power. So we could talk about what the father does and how he runs to the son. We could talk about the older son and how he was always there and everything that his father had was his. But this is what I want to concentrate on. Listen, you don't have to answer, but I want you to think about how you feel right now. There are some of you here, it's a big space, it's a bunch of people. There's some of you here that feel like you're coming to church so that you can pay the Lord back somehow. There's some of you that are here that are like, if I can just go to church, if I could just do, if I could just position myself, if I could just jump through the hoops enough, he'll love me. If I could clean myself up, if I could serve in a ministry, then he'll know that I'm serious and he won't be disappointed in me anymore. So this son, I mean, big time blows it, right? Right? Can we agree on that? And he knows, because he's human, that he's not coming back as a son. He's embarrassed, he's ashamed, and he's guilty. And he comes back to his father. He's a long way off, so he's got a long journey home, and he's rehearsing his speech. It's not a long one, so I think he's got it down. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Now listen to what's not said. This is what I want to focus on. Here's what's not said. If it's our sons and they've blown it like that, and they've spent the money we don't have, like I guess I'll give them a credit card, I don't know. We're having a teachable moment, you know what I mean? We're going to talk it through. So in my mind's eye, we have the father here, the son's talking to him, we have the servant. In my mind's eye, as I think about this passage, I think about the son gets through with the speech, and almost the dad's like, are we done? Are we done yet? And in my mind's eye, I see it this way. He doesn't even look at the son. He just says to the servant, get a robe, get a ring, get the sandals, and get the best calf. Because this one here, he was dead. And now he's alive. And that's all that matters. Listen. That's all that matters. That is, do you know that that's you? Look at me now. Do you know that that's you?
Yeah.
Because guess what? If it's for me, it's for you.
Yeah.
You have to understand, I spent a lot of time not believing that grace was for me. Many of us live in this orphan spirit, powerless, weak, ashamed, afraid, broken. When our dad is the King of Kings, and in Genesis it says, oh, by the way, he hung the stars. Like, that's an aside. Like, that's how big he is. Are you with me on that? So we have a dad that hung the stars. That's a kind of a big deal. And you're the son, you're the daughter. How many of you have children? Just raise your hand. What do they need to do to earn your love? Anything in particular? What hoops do they need to jump through? We can be, you know, not happy with them. But what do they need to do? So we have a father. We have a father that loves them more than you do.
That's right.
We have a father that loves beyond all that we could even understand. He's not even here. Theologically, we could debate this, and I'll let Jody deal with it after it's done. We serve a holy God. But here's why I think he's so concerned about sin. It's because he knows it'll breach relationship. Do you know that? So we think we've blown it, and that he's up there checking boxes, and we're jumping through hoops, and all he's saying is, you've disqualified yourself. Like, I've never moved. I've never left. This is the Father. And so, listen, there's a couple things. Jesus said, listen, I'm going to refer to a bunch of verses. I got to go. Jody told me there's a stop sign, and he said he would tase me if we don't end in time. So I got to move, baby. I got to move. So if we don't know our Father... Listen, this is really important. Students, are you with me now? Put your phones down. Candy Crush, whatever. No, that's adults. Instagram, I'm already been posted. I'm sure of it. It's amazing. Listen, the reason we need to know who our Father is so that we can know who we are. So this is why this is so important to me, right? We could talk about theology. We can dive and exegete the scriptures, and that's all important. If we don't know our Father, we cannot know us. And if we don't know us, the foundation from which we live is skewed. It's off. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And so listen, you can have come to church for 50 years. I was in full-time ministry for 20 years. I didn't know this information. I could believe for your miracle. You could sit across the table and tell me about your worst sin, and I'd be like, grace is sufficient for you. What I didn't know is I didn't believe that for me. I didn't know who I was. Listen to this. Orphans beg, and sons and daughters receive. There's a difference. So how many of us are begging God, God, would you do this for me? God, I need, God, would you? God, please, I'm begging you. Instead, my kids don't need to beg me for anything. I mean, they get their Fruity Pebbles with the marshmallows. Folks, I'm protecting my six pack. That's what I'm saying. Listen, they don't have to beg me for anything. And so, listen, the goal is for us to launch from a place where we can, in our minds, at least know that this is what it is. Like, my goal this morning is to get us to think differently. And here's the thing. Some of us in here, we have that down. That's great. Listen, thank God for that. Some of us in here do not. And I hope this is important. And the thing is, even if there's just one, that's okay. Because you need to know. Maybe we were sent here for one. Right? Because here's the thing. You're his favorite. Look at me. You're his favorite. And so am I. All he thinks about is you, and all he thinks about is me. I can't explain that to you, but I just believe it's, but it is true. Are you with me on that? Is that good news to anybody at all, or is it like, okay, good, four people, awesome, hallelujah. Jody, they're like, I don't know what to do with this guy. Dear Lord. So we're talking about the Father. So Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the Father is this kind of obscure Godhead that we don't necessarily fully know how to relate to. Jesus is safe, but Jesus says there's a destination, and that's Father. I'm the way to Father. And then what happens is, this is the first time I'm preaching with an iPad. I don't know why I chose to do it now, but just bear with me. It's pretty fun. But this is where we want to run into some problems, because now we're talking about Father. Here's the deal. Here's why this can be a problem for some of us. One, some of us don't have great fathers. So when we think about Father, we project Father onto Father, right? And that's very fair, by the way. We have had abusive situations, a lot of struggles, a lot of lack of encouragement. The list goes on and on. And that's very important. The other problem is we live in a transactional culture. You do for me, I do for you. You jump through a hoop, I jump through a hoop. We live in a culture that will find your sin 50 years from now and tear you down. Right? That's the truth. And the other problem is we've grown up with religion. With religion. How many people have come to this church in the last 5 years? Would you raise your hand? Last 5 years or so. That's a lot of people. Coming from different denominations, different places. And I'm not here to tear down the church. But what I am here to say is human beings have a great way of messing things up. And man, that's a whole nother message. But what I know is religion is where love goes to die. Because here's the thing. Listen, you need to... I'd like you to get this. You don't need to do anything. But if our Father is up there checking boxes, what's the point? If he's up there checking boxes, making his list, checking it twice, telling you how bad you are, why did he make us? I mean, because then truly he cannot be good. Jesus said you can address him as Abba, Daddy. That's how close you can be to him. And the religious leaders wanted to kill him for that. And so this is not religion. People that don't know the Lord, I've been bouncing around job to job, and people say, well, I'm not religious like you. And I say, thank God I'm not religious either. Truly, I'm not. I just love the Lord. Man, I just love my Father. When you truly know, when we know how we were bought with what we've been purchased, it changes everything. So later in John 14:8, Philip asks Jesus the question, show us the Father, And that'll be enough. And then Jesus says, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So here's what I want to tell you. I'm just going to give you three things, and I'm probably going to have to do it pretty quickly. But can you show me? Here's the thing. I don't understand. I don't understand how we got it wrong. Because you can't show me in the person of Jesus religion. Matter of fact, that's point one. I do have points. I told you I have points. So what does Jesus show us? If we see him, we see the Father. So what do we see in Jesus? A, he hated religion. He hated it. That's why they killed him. He shook it up. He called the religious leaders whitewashed tombs, looking good on the outside, dead on the inside. And they wanted to kill him. He hated religion. Do you hear me? Is this important to anybody? Is this speaking to anybody? I hope this sets you free. Because we are not to just follow this line. He is wild about you. The things that are important to you are important to him. He hated religion. And for many of us, believe, like I said, he's a box checker, and he's like looking for ways to punish us. Listen to ourselves. Where do we see it in Jesus? Can't find it. I promise you, I've looked. And here's why, because I wanted to be punished. Because I thought that was my future, was I deserved punishment and I wanted to find it somewhere so my destiny could be complete. But let me tell you something. I had a wife, have a wife, who's, by the way, superhero. She's very attractive, you know. I'm married up. I know. That said, we're going to hold on. I've told our boys already, when you see your mother, you need to know she's a hero. She's the hero of our family. And so, because if it were up to me, I wanted my destiny to be complete. And so what we do is, as good Christians do, we try to clean ourselves up so that God can give us a shower, right? Does that make any sense to you at all? Remember one time I was a little kid, and I was like, at a campground, I got a shower in the morning, and then my aunt was like, you need to shower again at night. And I was like, showering twice? I just couldn't even believe it. It was blasphemy. Anyway, that's near here, there. But we don't serve the Lord. Listen, here's what I want you to get. Okay. Listen to that, baby. That's an amen. Listen, Felix, you have to talk to your child about strangers, because I went over to Felix and the baby was like, I'm all yours. I'm like, what the heck? This is amazing. Anyway, that's a whole nother. Okay. So let me check my notes. Sorry. I'm back, people. I'm back. So listen to this. This is good. This is what I've learned. I don't serve the Lord in order to be loved. I serve the Lord because I am loved. You know there's a difference? You know there's a difference? Listen, there's such a big difference, man. Because of what he's done for me, for my family, I just want to tell you, I'm not here for any other reason. Matter of fact, it took me a while to even be like, okay, I can come now. I'm here just to tell you how much he loves you. And I know it's simple, but it's incredibly important. Second thing we see in Jesus is he's fully aware. Listen, he is fully aware of our and cares about and has the answer for what we're going through. Okay? Listen, I don't have time to read the scripture, but we're gonna talk about John 11 just real quick and Lazarus. Do you know the story of Lazarus? So Jesus hears in John 11 that Lazarus, the one he loves, is sick, right? And so, like, they know he has the answer. Jesus has the answer. And Jesus, listen, this is really important. Jesus knows the situation. Before Abraham was, I am. He's everywhere. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening here. He's aware of it. And so his big remedy in this moment is, I'm going to hang out for 2 days. Okay? Then finally, after 2 days, he goes to that place. Martha is kind of freaking out. If you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. But Jesus knows what's going on. And Jesus knows the answer and what's going to happen. And what happens? Anybody know? Raises from the dead. He raises from the dead. Because listen, God does as he pleases. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We can't think in this linear fashion, but here's the point of this, what I'm telling you right now. He is aware of, cares about, and has the answer for what you're going through. And listen, here's what you need to know about us. Like, we're living that. It's not important, the details of that, but we are actively living that, where we are believing for things we're not seeing. His timing has been horrible. You know what I mean? It's like, but what are our options? A, and this is a Bill Johnson line from Bethel, do we create a theology around how he doesn't show up the way we want him to? Or do we just say, I trust you? I trust you. So I woke up a few months ago now, just working through life stuff. And I believe the Lord dropped this into my spirit. He said, have I failed you? Or have I failed your expectations of me? And the truth is, it's my expectations, because I want it, but I want it now. He knows the end. He's not in a hurry to get what we need or want. He's concerned with my heart. You hear that? So if we filter all the things we're going through, and I know there's tough stuff in the room, but if we filter everything we're going through this lens, what if he's just after my heart? Would he give you what you want right now, or would he want you to contend and go to him and cry out and build the relationship and dig deep roots in him? Listen, we have been through it. Man, I could sit up here and tell you we have been through it. And it's not like we're fully, I mean, there's consequences to actions, but listen, but I wouldn't trade where I am. I wish it weren't that way. I wish it didn't happen that way. Because the man I am, the father I am, hopefully the husband I am, we can talk about later, but I'm a different person because I launch from a foundation of son. You with me on that? And that's yours. Launching from foundation of daughter, of son. And then thirdly, what do we see in Jesus? Listen, you can never fall hard enough. You can never fail big enough to escape his love. I'm going to give you one account. I had a couple here, but I'm going to give you one account. It's in Mark 14. We know the story. It's the Last Supper. Jesus says, you'll all betray me, right? Peter, oh, God bless Peter. Just needs a hug. You know what I mean? Peter's like, not going to happen. Like, he's just like all in. You got to love him. And Jesus says, no, actually three times you'll deny me. And then Peter says, I can see it. Looks at him right in the eye. I will die with you. I will die with you. I mean, just he's all in. And I'm telling you, the relationship Jesus and Peter had, it was tight, it was close, it was beautiful. And Peter's like, there's nothing. That's nothing that's going to separate us. And what do we see later? Jesus is arrested. Peter's in the courtyard. I guess I asked a question, weren't you with him? Peter's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. No. Another person, you have that accent, like you were with Jesus. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. Then a little girl comes over and says, you were with him, right? And he calls curses down and just cries out, I don't know the man. I'm telling you, I know how Peter feels. I wish I didn't. But man, he was lost. I mean, he hears the rooster crow. I promise you he was lost. Some of you are feeling that way. Look at me now. Some of you, students, there are some that are feeling that way. Do I matter? Does anybody care? Do I have a voice? What's my future look like? Is there hope? What's the point of living? Peter, I promise you, was there. Are you with me? Do you understand that? So again, another familiar scripture, but hear this. This is amazing. So later, in Mark 16, Jesus had died. Mary, Mary, and Salome go to the tomb, and the angel greets them, and he says to the women, "He's risen. He's not here. Go tell the disciples." You should tell Peter too. Didn't have to do that. Listen, he's so personal because he knew. Go tell the disciples was really enough. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you with me? But the Lord takes the time to include Peter, who he knows has disqualified himself. Go tell the disciples. Let Peter know. Listen, you cannot run far enough, hard enough, fast enough. You can't sin big enough. You can't rebel gigantic enough. And all your anger and all your frustration and all your fears and all the walls that you put up, you have a God that's just saying, "Hey, there's a better way." Like, I'm so wise. What's annoying about it is that he just never stops loving. You think you're becoming unlovable, but he doesn't change. You know, we cannot boast about our sin in a way that says, "I blew it to the point where I know I'm not even loved anymore." Because the Bible is riddled with people that show us that's not true. Do you hear what I'm saying? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Jesus hated religion. He's fully aware, cares for, and has the remedy for what we're going through. And we cannot fall hard enough, fast enough, long enough to escape his love. Is that good news? Is anybody with me? So that's about all I know. Okay, let's eat. So I know you're saying, "Well, Eric, what's the action step?" Ta-da, I have one. Here's the thing. I want to give you your big job. I want to give you your task, okay? Here's what you need to do today. Just make a decision to believe that. You with me? You know, and then what happens, what are we saying? Like, "Well, I don't feel him. I don't feel the sun at night." Unless I'm here. And then it's like living on the surface of the sun. Up north, I don't feel the sun at night. I got a sunburn at night yesterday. But that's a whole nother sermon. We're going to have a series, okay? It's going to be great. Pastor Jody's going to leave for it because it's not going to be good. But I don't feel the sun at night, but it's there. It's there. We can't live in our feelings. I'm a feeler. We can't live there. We have to live in the truth of his word. The truth of his word. His word says all these things I just told you. And we have to make a decision to believe that. There's a guy I follow on social media. He's like, talks a lot about father's heart stuff. And he says, here's the definition of sonship, daughtership, daughterhood. The definition is living in the constant revelation of Him loving you. Living in that. Look at me now. Listen, we came a long way, not to just eat boudin, or whatever it's called. We did go to Bucky's, though. We might have come all the way for that. But we came a long way. I came a long way to share with you. If I can be loved, you can be loved. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're his favorite. Look. I promise you, you're his favorite. And so am I. He knows every hair on your head. And it's time to step into, to push into, to lean into who we are. Aren't you tired of living in brokenness and excuses? Aren't you tired of the guilt and the shame? It's exhausting. Exhausting. I'm telling you, I get it. It took me a long time to even be able to say to people that would ask me how you're doing, for me to be able to say, I'm doing okay. I just didn't think it was my right. I'm telling you, Fran, you already know. Listen, you need to watch Fran's podcast with Pastor Jody. I promise you that. Fran, don't know you, but love you. She knows she's a daughter. I can promise you that. So listen, do you hear what I'm saying to you? Does this mean anything to anybody? Because and if it doesn't, just tell me it did so I can feel better. But it's time for us to live in victory. This is the last thing I'm going to say. We live from victory towards any situation. You hear that? Whatever you're going through, that is not your portion. That is not for us to fight from a place of weakness. The same spirit, what do you hear? That raised Jesus from the dead, what? Lives in me, lives in you. I mean, come on.